All right, we're at episode 3.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us. We're here on Goodness Gracious, the podcast. And I'm Estella.
I'm Laura.
We are so excited to start this episode. If you didn't tune in to our last few episodes, so our first was just an intro, and we talked about what grace means to us. And then episode 2 was about letting your light shine and asking yourself, you know, am I dimming my light? And so today we're talking about grace under pressure and how we can continue to show grace even when it gets tough and moments are difficult.
Right. Because it is so important for us to remain graceful under pressure, because life gets hard, but we have to remember that not only are we representing ourselves, we're representing the Lord as well. And our repute does precede us. So we have to think about that as well when we're going through our daily life. We need to stay graceful and authentic, even when life gets hard.
You know, I really liked this topic when you were telling me about grace. I was looking forward to it because I feel like talking about grace under pressure is like such a big topic. It has like so many directions that you can go into. So I was really excited for this topic.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's something that we can all really benefit from. I think that a lot of times we go through our days and we're just so reactionary. I can speak for myself. I have struggled with just impulsively just reacting. And I do not want to do that at all. Did you see that Harvard study I actually sent to you?
What one?
I just sent you it this morning, actually, and it spoke to me. It was like, we can be reactive, and these are our emotions, and if we're reactive, this is how it comes out.
Where did you send it to me?
Sorry. Your Instagram.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
It was amazing, and I was like, it's perfect for this, because if we just take a moment, a lot of people say, take a beat, take a step.
Oh, take that breath. One. Yes, you did tell me about that.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, there's a lot that we can change. So yeah, so I think that this is such a good topic, especially for the times that we live in right now, for everyone.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, so how do I show grace without being a doormat? I want to be kind, but still have boundaries. But we don't have to live like doormats, and we don't have to allow people to take advantage of our grace. And I mean, even in the Bible, it does say, you know, we don't sin for grace to abound, you know, just because we have the ability to give, you know, to give grace during situations, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be taken advantage of or for our personal boundaries to be overstepped. And so I think that's something that's so important there is to remember that self-love is important. God created you. He wants you to take care of yourself. We are to love God, you know, with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and we are to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. But we have to love ourselves in order to love our neighbors.
Oh, that's so.
And so if we set our healthy boundaries, we can do our best to be the best for others, you know? And I did find this biblical reference. It's Isaiah 40:29. And it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that's just something to hold on to. Remember that we have to depend on the Lord and center ourselves on Him. And another thing that I love to implement in this when it comes to self-love, it gives myself permission to say no in situations that I know don't align with me spiritually or with my faith or maybe with my capabilities, you know, not overextending myself at times. I can be a people pleaser, I can be a self pleaser, or I can be a God pleaser. And if I'm going to be a God pleaser, it makes, you know, decision making a lot easier, setting personal boundaries a lot easier, things like that.
I think Christians get a bad rap for being the pushover and being like, it's kind of like when you think of gentle parenting, when you hear that phrase, you think, oh, that's a pushover parent.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
When you hear, you know, that someone's a Christian, oh, well, they're pacifists. They don't believe in confrontation. Yeah. But Jesus, he confronted many people. He would convict people. And to some people, that's confrontational. And maybe it is, but we need conviction in our lives, because without conviction, we can't act. We can't truly believe in anything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be convicting. Mm-hmm. And when we're being a doormat, we're not living our full worth of as a Christian. As far as being a doormat, you know, you got to have self-confidence mm-hmm. in what you believe in. You got to read your Bible so that you can be able to speak for your own beliefs,
right,
on your own behalf, not just, you know, what Johnny Preacher said on Sunday, or what,
yes,
you know, what that guy, that video that you saw on Instagram,
right,
you know, oh, well, somebody was talking about the Bible on Instagram, so that's why I believe it. Like, no, dive into the word, right, for yourself.
Yeah.
So you can stand up for it. People like to take advantage of Christians because they offer so much grace sometimes. Mm. Because Christians are supposed to be graceful, and, you know, I should be able to get what I want out of you because you can't be mean to me. Mm. Well, mm. Guess what, sister? I'm from the south side of the kingdom. Just kidding.
Oh, man. I'm on the roof side of the tracks.
No, but yeah. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're a pushover.
No, it doesn't.
And
you can get, yes, gather your strength, sorry,
no,
in the Lord. You don't have, yes, to be a pushover.
Exactly.
And you are armored with the Spirit,
mm-hmm,
you know? So you, yeah, can go through these situations, go into the situations knowing.
With mm-hmm, kindness, love, and humility.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel strongly about not being a doormat and being a Christian, because I think a lot of Christians get, like, you know, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of assumptions.
Right.
About people.
That's so true. Well, the next question is how to keep my faith and values, right, the center when life feels chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked about that a little bit already.
Yeah.
You know, when life's coming at you fast.
Yeah. Leaning on prayer is so important.
Oh, yeah.
My sisters in Christ, Estella, you have been so, so important and so supportive and encouraging. I feel like when life feels chaotic, I know I can pick up my phone and I can send you a text message. Can you talk?
Yeah.
Or I'll call you. Hello.
Yeah.
And you're always there. And I feel like you help, like, I don't know if you purposefully do this, but you help to lighten my load, mm-hmm, as my sister in Christ. And that, oh, yeah, is so.
And I feel like I have that with you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I ever have issues, you hear it from me.
Yeah, I love that. And so that's, like, so important, why it's important to have, like, community and to give yourself grace to open up to people around you, friends. I mean, gosh, we've gotten into such fun conversations, and a lot of that has been because I have, like, let my ego go, like, mm-hmm, and I've been like, you know what, I do need help with these situations, and I need to give myself grace because there are other people that are struggling with this too. And I think that that's too why we started this podcast, because, yeah, we're like, hey, we're not the only ones going through these
you
things.
You are not the only one.
No.
You're not alone.
Right. Yeah. And this is like a sense of building to community, like, even, yeah, though we might not be person to person, we are building community here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So what are some practical applications for grace?
Whenever I say, like, just breathe, I get like, you just did it.
The biggest eye roll.
I was going to say, you just rolled your eyes. But you know what's funny, Estella?
Because I know here's why I roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I know it's true. I know, yes, that I just have to stop and breathe. And,
yep,
I need to do that right now to chill out. But it's so hard. And, you know, when we are talking about this, because it's so hard.
Right.
And because you're not going to just be able to wake up one day and your kid's going to come and, you know, come at you with whatever, you know what
your kid will come at you with.
Come at you with. And when that happens, sometimes just stopping and breathing isn't enough. Right. But that's a start.
But, you know, how many times do we, though, when that happens, do we forget to breathe? And and we react. And you know what's funny is I'm going to be vulnerable here for a second. I, at one point, got some advice when I was going through actually my pain management counseling. And I found out that, you know, of course, stress can increase your pain because you're tensing up and you're all this stuff. I'm just, you know, I'm yelling more than I want to. And so she gave me some great advice. She said, write the word breathe on post-it notes and put it around your house.
To remind you.
To remind me to breathe.
Did you do that?
I did it.
And
tell I put me. It, okay, I put it like three places in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Because my kitchen, even though it's really small, that was one of the areas in which I felt most stressed out.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I just felt more stressed in the kitchen. Even though I love my kitchen, I also felt stressed because I was in there and I was maybe making snacks or like doing dishes while trying to do something else. And also it is kind of tiny. So not tiny, but anyway. So breathe. So I did. I put it in three different spots in my small kitchen. And then I put it, I think, in my bathroom, on my bathroom mirror, on the kids' bathroom mirror, because I'll go in there, the guest bathroom mirror. In my bathroom, I think I put it in the laundry room / pantry.
Was your daughter like, what is this?
Well, yeah, she was just like, why do you have those there? And I told her why.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, it's because I feel like I could use this when I'm feeling stressed out. Like I just could use these reminders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so wonderful because, you know, a few months later, she starts talking to me about the breathing exercises that they're teaching to her at school. And she starts talking to me about this thing called square breathing, where you might trace your hand in a square. And for each side, it's 4 seconds. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. You're inhaling, then exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you do that for the entire square, and your body doesn't have the choice but to calm down. It doesn't. It's called the parasympathetic reaction.
Interesting.
And that automatically cools you down. So if you do that, your body won't have a choice but to
focus
calm
on
down and focus. And so when I started doing that, I realized that breath work is so important. I wasn't breathing. I know that sounds so stupid, but I wasn't breathing like I should, because I wasn't like, when's the last time you fully inhaled and exhaled? And your body needs more oxygen.
Yeah.
And so you're like,
to move all that blood.
Well, to oxygenate your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it sounds silly, but breathe is so important.
That's good.
And I would recommend that for anybody who might, you know, whatever room you find yourself stressing most. Like for me, it was the kitchen. I put three breathe post-it notes.
Yeah.
And it really did help me. It really did help me.
And it's so funny because I feel like we don't want to do these simple little tasks because they feel too simple to work, or they feel silly, or, you know, but first of all, you got to let go of your pride.
That's our ego talking.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're embarrassed because your kid's going to ask you, what's this breathe sign for? Oh, well, I got to remember to breathe. Yeah. Go in timeout. No, just kidding. No, just kidding.
They might actually, they might be like, oh, well, I could use this too.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they might think, you know, oh, well, that's weird. And life goes on.
Life goes on. Exactly. We don't have to worry about other people's perceptions. Yeah. I think what we need to worry about is like how we're living our life and like, are
practicing healthy things that will help us to feel better. And if you don't try, then we'll never feel better. Because we're just living in the same
cycle.
The bad cycle.
Yeah.
The cycle we want to avoid. And so speaking of the cycle we want to avoid, mm-hmm. What would one do when they fail to show grace? What happens when we fail, when we're not showing grace?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we recover from these moments where we lose control?
I want to go back to it being with our children, but our children aren't the only people that we lack grace in action. So I could say, like, my husband, say, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm hangry, and I have not been graceful.
Yeah.
And I've either said something or, like, the tone of my voice. And I'm always somebody who says, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. But then get me hungry.
Yeah.
And I might say something in a way that I didn't mean to.
I know. That made me think of my husband, poor Joshua. He sometimes, I don't know, we just get in these in a little funk, and I am, like, learning to control my emotions, you know, anxiety, anger, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to work on themselves. And in those moments when I'm frustrated, I breathe, but it's audible, you know? And so he'll be in the same room with me. And, you know, maybe it's a little tense, or just, you know, marriage. There's always something you're trying to do
and work on.
It's a cycle. Yes. And so we'll be in the same room, and I am trying to control my anxiety. And I'm like, I just exaggerated my breath, but sometimes I breathe and you can hear it. And he'll say, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing is wrong. And I'll latch out at him. Yeah. And I feel terrible. It hasn't just been one time with him. And then other times I'm like, oh, no, I'm just trying to breathe, you know, and get through it. And I'll tell him what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moments when, you know, when I'm not being graceful, I try to come back eventually to tell Joshua, hey, like, I was frustrated in that moment. And sometimes he knows. He's like, oh, yeah, you were frustrated.
Yeah.
But
that's really good that you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And it's tough. I don't think I try not to get down on myself for too long, but it happens. And
what I meant is, it's not healthy to stay down on yourself.
Oh.
God has already forgiven you for what
you
failed on.
Yeah.
And but so anyway,
something that helps me with that is I kind of accept that it will happen again. Not to say that I'm planning to do it again, but just I am trying to regulate my emotions, whether it's anxiety, anger, frustration. And I'm trying to do that sometimes mid conversation with Joshua. If we're, like, trying to figure something out and we're both frustrated because it's a big deal, you know, because everything's a big deal when you're married.
Course.
You know, like, why didn't you put the toaster back? I have asked you so many times, just put the, well, why didn't you put the laundry basket where it's supposed to go?
Oh,
you always leave the laundry.
When it's like, well, you didn't do this.
Yes.
And I'm like,
oh my gosh. And it always turns into the biggest things. And so I acknowledge beforehand that, yes, we will have moments of weakness, and just when neither of us are regulating our emotions, you know, and we're both just kind of, like, lashing out at each other for a minute or for a few hours. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
I just don't want anyone to feel like, you know, they're failing their marriage because they're constantly arguing. It is so tough to regulate yourself, and especially when you're doing that mid-conversation. It's hard. It's hard to have those tough conversations with your partner, you know, whether you're talking to your husband or your husband's talking to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're having a great day and you're really doing really good at regulating your emotions. Sometimes I am really good. Like, I'm the listener. I'm just a natural listener. I do find myself listening more often to, you know, maybe what's on his heart and what his frustrations are. But that's not going to stop me from continuing to work on myself. And it's not going to stop me from continuing to show him grace.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we're married.
Yeah, of course. And it is, And it is like we're works in progress. We have to give ourselves permission to stumble, but to pick ourselves up and to learn and to go.
Yes. Yeah. And on the flip side, there are times when Josh was the one who's really understanding and I'm, you know, flipping my lid.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I know.
But, and then there are other times when neither of us are having it. And I'm just, you know, make a comment. And I'm like, well, you don't do this. And, you know, you should work on this. And he's like, well, you should work on this. There are so many like variations, which I think is the reason why it's hard to practice grace in your life. It's hard to accept that we're not going to be grace. You know, what are you going to do when you fail to show grace? It's going to happen. You're going to fail to show grace. I think the first step is to accept and acknowledge that you will fail, that you're going to be rude. You're going to be angry and frustrated, and you're gonna get caught up in your anxiety and you're gonna spiral. It's gonna happen, but there's always a way out and a way back from it. And I think if you accept it ahead of time that you're not gonna be perfect, because I think everybody's like, oh, well, you know, you're not perfect. We're all human. But what does that mean? That means you're going to yell at your kids. That means you're going to say mean things to your husband. But if you can acknowledge it now, then when you're in the moment, you're like, oh, man, I'm not.
This is exactly where I didn't want to be.
This is exactly where I didn't want to be. When you realize you're in that moment, you can change it. You can make a different decision. And I think that's the point. I always tell my son Laser to, you know, make good choices at school. So when we're at home and I'm like trying to work with him through these issues, when you're in that moment, try to catch yourself
right
before you make, you know, that decision, or before you continue to make that decision.
Yeah, like when you feel a sensation come up,
try and catch yourself.
I acknowledge you sensations, but you can go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing we can do when we fail to show grace.
Yeah.
Is to acknowledge it, accept it, and move forward, because there will always be forward. Life will continue on with or without you, whether you forgive yourself or not. So work on forgiving yourself, even if it takes some time, and work on your grace, even if you feel silly doing it.
Right.
You know, because I feel silly apologizing to Laser. Joshua's great at it. He's always like, hey, you know, I haven't been a dad for very long. We're both new at this. And I'm like, hey, Laser, you should have known better. No.
Yeah. But that's the beauty, though.
Yes.
Because that's what makes, I think, beautiful families, that we're not all the same.
Yeah.
And we have different ways. And we're progressing. And I love that what you just said about we're going to make mistakes in that moment, that acknowledgement, that is like the beginning of change.
Yeah. Yeah. Because once you acknowledge yourself, you're like, oof. I shouldn't be saying this.
Yeah, like almost like you're like not an out of body experience, but it's almost like another vulnerable moment. But I was like, one time I was so upset with Kai and I was yelling at him, and then I stopped and I go, I can't even believe I'm yelling at you like this right now. Like I like was like,
you said that to him?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And I just like had to walk away because I was like, I was getting ugly. And I was like, there was no benefit that was happening out of this, out of me acting that way.
Yeah. Eventually you just kind of found yourself just lashing out in frustration. Yeah.
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 And I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm even saying this to you.
What did you do? Did you just, you said that and you walked away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later on, I came back and I had to apologize about allowing my anger to get me to a point in which I spoke in a manner to him that was unacceptable. And I said that to him, like, I spoke to you in a way that was unacceptable.
Yeah.
And because like I just was like being hurtful and speaking out of emotion and not speaking thoughtfully. That Liz is saying, you know, it's just like reactive. And you know, I said I was sorry. And it's easy for me to say I'm sorry. I don't expect him to just forget like how I what I said when I was yelling. But I hope that he can take my apology and take my actions going forward and know that I truly meant that.
Yeah, and you know? Hopefully he does get that from your apology. I was going to ask, did he say anything?
I mean, he said, you know, what you said really hurt me.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he told me, you know, what you said really hurt me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm so sorry. You know, I know. Of course that would hurt. Yeah. Well, okay. How do you show grace when somebody is being rude or disrespectful or you feel slighted? Mm-hmm. I have in the past always been very reactionary. And I have been like maybe passive aggressive, maybe not like outwardly like confrontational, mm-hmm. but I can be passive aggressive in the past. And one day on my way to church, I did not realize what was even happening until this woman was behind me. But I'm driving, I'm like a mile from my destination, and I'm going the speed limit. I'm being a cautious, or not cautious, I'm being a normal driver. And I think that this woman, she must have been having a really rough day, but she got behind me, and I just see like movement in my rearview mirror, like out of my peripheral vision. And so I look up into my rearview mirror, and this lady is, and I can see her lips. She's like,
tight lips.
No.
Oh, she's cussing you out.
She's cussing me out.
Or yelling at somebody.
Well, she's yelling, and she's like flailing her arms, and she's F, B, and my kids are in the car. And not that I couldn't hear her, but I could like see her and her face. And she
this
just
is
angry.
Real quick. This yeah. is a safe podcast. We will not say cuss words.
Oh, right. Yeah. Don't worry. You don't have to muff the ears. But anyway, this lady, she was really having a time behind me. And there was my first instinct, and I'm not proud to say it, but my first instinct was to be passive aggressive. And I wanted to roll my window down, and I wanted to like wave at her.
Thumbs down.
No, I wanted to like give her a thumbs up, or like wave at her and be like, "Hi, have a good day," you know,
passive aggressively.
Oh, of course.
Okay,
that's.
I just want to make that clear.
Let's just be honest with ourselves. If anybody was like, "Oh, have a nice day," or like you said earlier, "God bless you." That's called passive aggressiveness. And that's not coming from a good place when somebody is like that. So in that case, I had to be like, I was like, I'm not going to do that to her. I'm not going to do that. Like, that doesn't even sit right in my soul or my mm-hmm. spirit mm-hmm. to say, have a good day. Go, you know, be miserable on your own or whatever. Because that person was hurting. I don't know what happened that day for that person or that week. They could be struggling with something that's invisible, like chronic pain. That's something that hits close to home for me.
What happened after that? She was swerving behind you and kind of flailing her arms. And then what did you do?
I didn't do anything. Uh-huh. I didn't do anything. I proceeded on my way mm-hmm. and she proceeded on her way, and she turned into the Aldi parking lot.
Yeah.
And she got to her destination. Like, and I don't think I said a prayer for her, but I like in my heart, I was just like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
And in that moment, like, I know it's not not that I'm patting myself on the back, but I felt like that was acting in grace under pressure, because I wanted to act out in anger, and I wanted to act out like I almost let the situation get the best of me.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because you could have done so many things. Like, you could have rolled your window down and, you know,
I could have yelled,
signed at her stuff.
Yeah, I could have.
You could have yelled at her and she wouldn't even hear. But you know who would hear?
Mm.
The people in your car. Who was in your car?
My kids.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, and they're watching. Always. I don't have to think about that.
Ironically, where were you headed? Where were you
church.
Headed?
To church. Now? And not like that is a reason to have grace under pressure, but I knew where I was headed. And there, I think, was a little bit of me that was like,
Josiah, rude. Don't know. Josiah just opened the door and walked in into our session.
Hi, buddy.
Oh, yum. The milk is yummy.
High five. Thank you.
So cute. He just high-fived Laura. That's so cute.
Good morning. He's my buddy.
Oh.
Good morning.
He's a baby boy.
He gets it.
Say bye-bye.
I love you.
It's not.
Oh, no. What do I do?
He's like, this is my house. Yeah. He's like, excuse me. I hear voices in here.
Hey, that was Grace under pressure.
Grace under pressure.
Yeah, I hear Josiah.
It doesn't latch.
It's okay.
Should be fine.
That's okay. But I think that I think that there was something on my conscience. Like I knew where I was headed. And so I wanted to be on good behavior. And I mean, like the thought came to me, like, Laura, you better not act out of line. Like,
or we want to act Christ-like.
Right. Right, we want to act Christ-like, yeah.
And you didn't want to act out of that.
Yeah, I did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was something that I recently, it was just a couple of weeks ago that I recently went through. Yeah.
I know.
Like, oh my goodness.
Is that, how do I show grace when someone is being rude, disrespectful? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And it's always good to, remind yourself that. And like in this situation for me, I mean, undoubtedly, that lady was going through something. She was going through something. She was having a crisis. The look on her face, you can see, like, I don't know about you, but I can look at somebody and I can be like, that person is in pain. I can look at somebody and see that person is in pain by like looking into somebody's eyes. And I mean, obviously this lady was scowling. She was like, she was flailing, like I said, but that wasn't just
some people.
Anger.
The thing is that some people, sadly, they live their lives like this. Like this is their normal.
Yes.
When somebody is driving in front of them and they're going too slow, and you feel that instant rage of like, why is this person going so slow? Or whatever it was. I don't know why she was upset. But she just happened to like turn in. She probably wanted to get around you and she didn't have enough space. And so a lot of people, they naturally act out in their rage.
Yes.
And they're just like living their lives like this. And that's miserable, which is why I think it's so important. You know, Christ calls us to not act in our rage and to have self-control.
Yes.
We need to be a place where the Holy Spirit can dwell. And the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, when you're showing the fruit of the Spirit, you show self-control.
Yes.
Patience. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Okay.
Right.
But these are all things that we need to, practice and exercise so that we can be at peace when the rage hits, when someone is like cussing us out in their own car. Yes, it's infuriating. And yes, it lights a fire in you, but with grace, with the Holy Spirit in us, we need to practice that self-control. And it's tough. It was really hard for you to just let that happen.
It was.
Yeah.
And I agree too. If we don't pause before reacting, then maybe we're not giving a moment, like an opening for the Spirit to like, I mean, I know the Spirit's always at work in our lives and in our hearts, and we are given the gift of counsel, that's such a blessing. But if we think that we can solve our own problems, and we think like, let my will be done because this lady is being, and I'm just gonna,
well, can I ask you something?
Instead of God's will in this situation. Yeah, go ahead.
When that lady was like, when you finally noticed her and you noticed that she was upset and that made you upset, like what did you do to kind of center yourself? Like what was going through your head from the point that you got upset to the point that you decided not to react to her anger with anger.
So this is really something that I've been practicing a lot. And this has helped me a lot, not being so angry with people and how they act. This sounds so like so, this.
No, say it. It's fine.
It's not as hard as it sounds, okay? And I'm going to say, because it's really not. But when you start looking at people as souls. And not people, yeah. Right? Yeah. So how could I look at her being like that? Her, like, but I'm looking not as an angry person. I'm looking at, like, her sadness.
Yeah, that's so good.
Is that not powerful?
That's really good.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Because whatever's happening,
I know what you mean. Like, it sounds silly. You know, we're all children of God. But in reality, God wants all of us. Every human being.
Every person.
He wants every person to be saved.
We're all. Okay, we're not all in the body yet. But we're all a part of the body. And so once we all begin to function together.
Yeah.
That's when we can have peace.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good.
But I think that that's powerful. And that actually helped me in that moment.
Mm.
But it's because I've been practicing that.
Yeah.
I forgot where I heard it. And I need to start writing down where I hear these powerful messages so I can give credit where credit's due. Because I heard that, and that really, like, there have been so many things lately that have been shifting my perspective. The way that I see, I'm like, wait, if I look at it at this angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding, Estella. Things have been happening like that. When I heard it,
yeah.
I implemented it. And it's been helping to look at people as souls instead of people.
Yeah. That reminds me of this video I watched about parenting, how to parent your child when they're upset. And this mom had two children, small, like toddlers, who each got a balloon. And, you know, the mom came in and brought the kids balloons. And so the younger one was waiting for his balloon, and the older one snatched it from his hand and ran away. And so as a parent, your instinct is to be like, you know, hey, little Susie, why did you take the balloon from your brother? You shouldn't do that. Or there's the approach where gentle parenting, now Susie, that's not nice to take your brother's balloon. But the video talks about approaching these situations in a different way. She said that she went up to her daughter and she's like, hey, Susie, what are you feeling right now that made you take the balloon from your brother? And Susie said, oh, his is taller. She said, I want the tall balloon. So it was a matter of the length of the string. Oh, and so the mom's like, you want a longer string? Well, I can give you a longer string. And little Susie was happy. She had the longer string and she felt better. If my son were to do something, I wouldn't have thought to ask him, hey, what's going through your head right now? Why did you do that or not do that? But that's so eye-opening, because you're right. Because most of the time he'll say something like, you know, oh, well, I don't want to. And if I were to ask him, well, why don't you want to? You know, like, well, I'm frustrated. You know, I want to play video games and I don't want to put away the dishes. Then I can say, well, Laser, as soon as you put away these dishes, you can play video games, or you can play video games. And then I'll tell him, you know, when he can play video games, and we can work it out, basically. But it's having, like, opening that conversation and seeing your kid as a person is revolutionary, you know?
It is. Oh, yeah. My gosh. You sent me a video just the other day, and Estella, I've been using it. Do you remember that?
No, video? Which one?
Okay.
I send you so many.
I know. But I think, okay, so this mom, she goes, can you take out the trash? And the kid goes, nope. And she goes, excuse me? Who are you speaking to? I've been using that.
Yeah, I remember which one you're talking about.
And she goes, and he goes, you? And she goes, and who am I?
Ooh,
your mother, or my mom. Okay, so can you rephrase that? I've been using that in that gentle way. And in the gentle way, but in the way that's like totally respectful, yes, and communicative. And it's so working. And I think that they are like hearing themselves and like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. And because I've gotten that reaction from both of them. And it's amazing. And like you said, it's opening that line of communication. And it's so fun when things work like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, normally, because I would say, don't talk to me that way. Exactly. I'm your mom, you know, or you're in trouble because you're speaking back to me. No.
I think there's something in their brain that switches when they have to say it. Like, oh, you're my mom. And right. And how do you talk to your mom? Oh, I talk to mom respectfully. Like,
so good
that they have to like get out and say it themselves. I think it changes the chemistry in their brain.
I wonder if that creates a cognitive dissonance in themselves. And that works.
Right.
Oh, wait, I'm doing this and I know I should be doing this.
I know.
Ooh. Hi, sweet angel.
And Josiah is back in the room. You want to come podcast with us?
Yeah. What did you say? Yeah,
that's very interesting, Josiah. Hey, honey, come get your son. That was a good segue into our parenting
totally
portion.
Yes.
What does grace under pressure look like when you're parenting? It is so hard to stay calm when your kids know how to push your buttons.
Yeah,
and they do. They do.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about, so Laser, this, I want to say it was like Tuesday or Wednesday, my oldest, me and Joshua have been working with him with his homework lately because his teacher told us that there were some assignments missing from his homework. And so he's in fifth grade right now. I've been making a regular habit of asking him, hey, did you finish all your homework? Every time. You know, I ask him, he's like, yeah, I finished, or, you know, no, I just need to do reading, and he'll finish up his reading really quick. He's gotten into the habit where if I ask him, he'll say, yes, I did my homework. And then later I find out that he, in fact, did not do his homework. Yeah. So this week, he finished his homework, and he was like drawing, I think, or reading and listening to the radio. And I walk in his room and I'm like, hey, Laser. You know, it's getting pretty late. I think it was like 6 p.m. or something. I asked him, have you finished your homework? And he's like, yep. He answered really quick. And I was like, okay, pause. And, you know, pause what you're doing. Put the volume down on your radio. And I looked at him and he looked at me. And I said, I want you to just take some time right now and think, are there any assignments that you didn't finish in class that you still need to do? Or is there any upcoming thing that you need to work on that you haven't worked on yet? And I let him kind of think on that. And he looks at me and he's like, oh, yeah, there is one thing. And I'm like, ha! Like, I knew it. Yeah. He's like, oh, I have a project that I need to work on. And I'm like, oh gosh, a project. No. And I'm like, all right, well, when is it due? Because, you know, that's the first thing. When is this due? And he's like, it's due tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, no. So I tell him to, you know, put away his stuff and to show me his project and what is it that and tell me all about it. He's like, okay. He pulls up his computer and he has to do like a presentation on MLK or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. No glue or, you know, no styrofoam involved. So that shouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But geez, I have to try so hard not to get upset in those moments, because like the first thing I wanted to do was like, Laser, you didn't tell me, you know, that you had a project. Like, how long, if this is due tomorrow and this is a project, you know, how long have you been sitting on this? You know, I could have gone off into all these different directions. Oh my gosh. And I wanted to, and I made sure that I like stayed centered and focused. And I'm like, all right, Laser, you know, I just focused on the next step. What do you have to do? And he pulled out his computer, and luckily he and another partner were working on it and it looked like it was done. But because I didn't blow up on him, we were able to kind of click through and make sure that his project was full. I gave him some tips like, hey, I can't really see the text on this slide. Mm-hmm. I think you should change it. It was really hard looking at his project and not wanting to like jump in there and do it for him and fix it for him.
Yeah.
But that's, I think that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. But that's true. That's allowing him, though, to have his own consequences.
Yeah.
Like in terms of what the project will be. Maybe next time he'll say, oh, if, depending on his grade, I could have put a little more effort in, and I'm going to do that next time to better my grade, because this is how much effort I did put in this time. But that's such a great example of using grace under pressure, because
parenting under pressure.
Parenting is pressure. I think we're not given a manual. I tell Kai sometimes, honestly, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know if all parents go by this or live by this rule, but I tell him, like, look, I have never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a 15-year-old. You've never been 15-year-old. We're going through this together. So we need to give each other a little bit of, you know.
To me, that's always been like a sign of weakness. Admitting to your child that you don't know what you're doing has always been something that's like a big no-no, because I was never shown that it was okay. But if there's one thing that I have seen, like in videos and parenting advice, it's that you need to be vulnerable with your kids, because then they're going to grow up and they're not going to know how to be vulnerable.
It's true.
Not just with their own kids, but with the people around them in their lives. Vulnerability with your kids is probably like one of the most difficult areas of vulnerability that I've had to go through, because it's not something that I've practiced a lot. It's so hard for me to be like, hey, Laser, I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
Right. Well, we were raised like, this is the parent, you're the child, and this is your role.
Mm. And you better not step out of that role. Like, precisely. Not one toe.
And you're not my equal.
Yeah.
And just because we're vulnerable and I apologize to my children when I mess up. I acknowledge times in the past that I've messed up.
Well, I was just going to say is that people have told, like, I don't want to say people have told me, but I have always seen this image of, like, if you say sorry to your kids, then you don't know what you're doing, and therefore you don't know how to parent. But that's not true.
No. I think that's admitting that we don't have all of the answers. I think that that's actually powerful spiritually too.
Yeah. One thing I have seen in videos, you as a parent have to regulate your emotions so that your kids can see you as an example on how to regulate your emotions. You can't regulate your kids' emotions if you're not regulating your emotions first. And so the same thing goes. If you can't say sorry to your kids, then how are your kids going to say sorry to other people, you know? And that's kind of another thing that I grew up with, is do as I say, not as I do. And that is completely, first of all, against the Bible, because God himself was a full-on example of how we need to be through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if God can send, you know, his only son mm-hmm. to be an example for us, mm-hmm. then we can say sorry to our kids.
Exactly.
To be an example.
He was the ultimate example. He was the
ultimate
example. Under pressure.
Yes.
Because he felt those things, but didn't sin in his anger or all of, like,
yeah.
When he was under pressure, he remained sinless.
Woo!
So good.
So tough.
Good. I know. It is tough, but it's worth it. And it's like, don't you feel good for it afterwards? Like that moment, like that you had with Laser Tuesday, when you took a moment, and I know that he did stuff, and you kind of like, I got through that. I feel like sometimes these obstacles that are put in, or these difficult situations, when we can tackle that situation authentically in love, the way that you did, that is, we're growing as people.
Yeah.
Faith, because we're putting our faith into action, and we're also just growing as, like, we can do hard things. This is hard. That was hard.
It was painful.
It was painful.
That's how I know I'm growing, because there's growing pains.
Growing pains. And you did it.
Yeah.
And it's all good.
Yeah. And it's so funny, because I feel like as soon as I accomplish something with Laser, like, oh, I did that, I was a good parent and I didn't blow my top, then something else something new comes up. Like, as soon as I accomplish one thing, something else comes up that I have to work on.
Well, make it into that whole game that you told me the other day. It's a cycle. There's never going to be an end.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so real quick, just so that listeners know what we're talking about. The cycle of laundry. We see laundry as a task. We see the basket's full of laundry, the chair is full of laundry, the bed is full of laundry. And a lot of times we get stuck in this guilt of, I haven't finished the laundry. But if you look at the laundry is a cycle. And what does that mean? You have dirty clothes. Dirty clothes then goes into the washer and gets washed. That clothes goes into the dryer and gets dried. That dry clothes is now clean, and so it can be folded. It can go into a clean basket and get put away. Then the clean clothes that's put away gets worn, and you put it on your body, and the cycle starts again. You take it off, and it's dirty. I think the impactful point of this is your job is not to have all of your laundry cleaned. Your job is to provide clean clothes to your family and to always have clothes to wear. That's the job. Not to have everything done, but to always have clothes available to wear. Because, you know, you gotta clothe your kids.
Right.
And so when we look at laundry as a cycle, as long as we have clothes moving from the washer into the dryer, as long as our clothes are staying in the cycle, it's functioning.
Yeah.
And I think as parents, we can reflect on ourselves. And as long as we are consistently giving ourselves grace and teaching our children
yes.
how to give grace and be graceful with themselves as well as with you, it's a cycle that we will continue to go in. And as long as we are continuously being graceful to one another, then we're good. But it's when we get stuck, for example, I have a towel in my closet that's been in the corner on the floor for weeks.
Oh, no.
I have a couple socks under my bed that kind of have just been there.
Yeah.
A shirt, I think.
Gathering dust.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Don't call me out, Laura.
Well, because I have those same socks under my bed, too.
But I think when we're, you know, in the car with someone behind us cussing us out and we're cussing them back, that's laundry stuck under our bed, building dust and creating this grime in our lives. It's poisoning our lives when we are not exercising grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because that quote says, you know, hatred or anger towards somebody is like drinking poison yourself and expecting the other person to get hurt.
Totally.
And we can't live like that. We have to continuously be giving ourselves grace and giving other people grace.
And remembering that when we do accomplish that act of grace, let us be ready for another moment of action. We can take as a call to action. We can change our perspective, because I've heard this, like, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And we always hear it for a bad time or a tough time that people are going through. But you know what? The good times too shall pass.
Ooh.
You know, good times don't last forever. And so let's gather ourselves and our resilience. Relationships are that way. Isn't everything?
Yeah, no, you're so right. It's so funny that it made me think of, you know, Laser just got some mint seeds to plant.
Yeah.
And when you plant a little plant, I'm terrible at keep taking care of plants. But it's part of the cycle, you know? You water your plant, you plant your seed, you water your plant. You make sure that the soil is fertilized and healthy. And then you do it all over again in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're a farmer, you do it every
season.
Planting season.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, everything is so cyclical.
Yeah. So we covered how can I be gracious with myself when I'm struggling with self-doubt. You mentioned your affirmations.
And that. Oh, yeah.
No, we went right into it.
We did. I don't know if you ever use comments or like positive little sayings for yourself.
Like a little mantras or something.
Right.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the whole this too shall pass, you know, about the good and the bad times. But I also like to use like little things like progress, not perfection.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right? Because we're a work in progress, and that's going to be our story until we exhale our last breath. I feel like we should always, personally, always be growing. We can always be growing closer to the Lord, growing in faith, and doing things of service for each other and growing in that way. So it is going to be progress, not perfection, because we can never reach the perfection that Jesus had. We can aim for it and do everything that we can to be aligned with him and on our path and on our daily walk. But we also need to give ourselves grace.
If you have these affirmations kind of in your back pocket, it kind of makes me think of that that Bible verse, write them on your heart. It's good to have these sayings in your back pocket so that when situations do come up, you're prepared and you're not caught off guard. You have like a cool down plan ready for that situation, because a lot of people, they are governed, like they are just ruled by their emotions. And it's so hard to just show grace out of the blue. So if you're not prepared, it's going to be even harder to show grace for anybody, for yourself, for the people, you know, who are being particularly rude to you.
Right.
And it's not easy. So it's good to have these sayings in your back pocket.
Totally. I was looking at that thing that I had sent to you earlier, that Harvard study. We can deal with different emotions. We have anger, sadness, anxiety, fear, and joy. We have typical reactions, but then we also have other ways that we can react more mindfully that can lead to better outcomes, right? Okay, so we have the anger, which our typical reaction would be reacting impulsively, but instead we could pause, breathe, then respond. Then we have the sadness, which is, withdrawal socially. We can instead seek connection and share. There's anxiety, which I suffer from this sometimes, where I can overthink a situation, but instead we need to focus on our present action. Maybe take a deep breath, center ourselves, because then we're right in that moment, and then go from there.
That's so good, because I also feel like I am anxious. And what do you do when you're anxious? You go around and around a situation that has not happened, or that, you know, you're thinking about, what could have happened?
Right.
And if you push all that aside and you're just, what is happening in your moment? Center yourself and focus. That's
present.
A good one. That's present. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then there's fear, where you want to avoid challenges, right?
Ooh. That's good. Sorry.
Now we can acknowledge our feelings and then we can face those head on. I don't know if you've ever had like that nervous feeling, because you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do this thing and I'm really nervous about it.
Like a pit in your stomach.
Yeah. And you're like, this is fear. But what if you were to look that fear in the face? Fear, you are excitement. That's exciting. And just trick your mind. I've been doing that with Kai.
Yeah.
And he is now saying that back to me.
Ah!
And so I know he is saying that to himself. And then the last thing was, when you're feeling joy, sometimes we tend to overindulge. I can do that.
I think the key here is to not go too far.
Exactly. It says you should appreciate the moment of joy, staying grounded. And that's what that would be, what you just said.
Oof. That's good.
But Psalms 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And this is this one. And there's a couple other Bible verses that talk about putting the word in your heart and tying it around your neck, obviously metaphorically, but it could be literally if you got a necklace of the Bible verse on it.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I love that. One thing that I have used in the past too, another Bible verse, if I could share, to quell my anger is,
and it goes, that's a fun
so
word.
So perfect.
Quell my anger?
I don't know if, am I using that right?
I don't know.
Well, watch or not, but it's okay. Is James 1:20. And I actually researched this because I didn't want to be so angry and act out in my anger, because it didn't sit well with my spirit. And I had this cognitive dissonance where I was like, I'm acting this way and I'm doing this, but in my heart, like my mind, I'm making sense of it, but in my heart, it's not sitting well. So I knew that in my spirit, it didn't sit well with me. So I was like, I'm going to do some research because I know I'm going to get my answers from the Bible. That's where I want to get my answers from the Word of God. So I said, let me do some research. And the thing that hit home, like the verse that hit me hardest was James 1:20. And I'll go ahead and read it out of, let's just say, the English Standard. It says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So I can be angry, but I better not act out in that anger. God is like, you're sinning against me when you are acting out in an angry way.
Yeah.
Anger is naturally human emotion. And I will feel anger, but I don't have to act out in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really powerful one for me because that was something that I struggled with a lot. And when I was under pressure, my reaction would be frustration or anger. What's more important to me than my ego being disrespected is my love for God and me not wanting to sin against him. So I can be angry, but I don't want to sin against God. So I'm not going to act out in that anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just love that. That's James 1:20 for anybody who might also suffer with reacting in anger at times.
Yeah, that actually goes well with how do I stay graceful when I feel criticized or misunderstood.
Right.
Does that go with it?
I think so.
Yeah. It does. Emotional and it's an emotional challenge that we face, you know, with ourselves.
Yeah. And if we don't stop, take a beat. A lot of people use that. I like it. Take a beat. Take a moment. Take a breath. And think.
That saying is kind of referring to, you know, a song. When a song has a steady beat, it's like da, 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 da. And if you were to take a beat, you would, among one of those beats, there would be a pause, you know, da, 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 da. So you take a beat and life just goes on, and whether you're happy or angry, like things are going to keep moving just like a song, and you're living your life. And if you just, I don't know, we can continue the analogy of the song. Mm-hmm. If you step off the dance floor, you know, and completely remove yourself, then time is still going to go on. If you continue in your anger, life is still going to go on.
Yeah.
And are you choosing to live in your anger and live in your frustration? Or are you going to take a beat?
Take a moment.
Take a moment.
And get back into the
dance. And get back in. On the dance floor.
Yeah. Of life.
Of life.
Yeah. I want a day.
Yeah. And so taking a beat, you know, that made me think of that.
Of
pausing, but then jumping right back in because the song is still going.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
I love that a lot. I love to, like, my take a beats are I might go for a walk. You know, how I feel about thrifting.
Mm.
So I could totally get lost in going to a thrift store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I will take a bath. Mm. And bath time is my time.
You lock the door?
I know. Just in case. Just in case. Yeah. I don't want to, like, slip and fall. In the...
No, it's for my safety.
For my safety. No, or in case I have to run out because I hear a crying baby or something.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's nice. A bath is nice. Centering.
I love that.
Do Epsom salt baths?
I put so much Epsom salt in my baths. I come out like jelly afterwards.
I love Epsom salt. Isn't it just.
It's very nice. I use Epsom salt and these Dr. Teal's Epsom salt bath bubbles, I think they're called, or something like that.
I've never seen that. I want to try it.
Yeah, so good.
Yay.
Our recording got turned off, so I'm just going to re-record the conclusion. So we want to be a source of grace to others. For parents, you know, we're clearly the source of grace for our kids. And for the people surrounding us, we don't know who's who's watching us. We don't know who's seeing us react to a situation and who's watching us come out of our struggles. So do it for yourself, but also do it for people around you, for the community who may or may not be benefiting from watching you come out of those struggles. Because we're all struggling and hurting for something, and we're all here to support one another, support the person next to you. I hope that people listening to this are getting something beneficial out of it. If you want to let us know how we're doing, we would so appreciate it. Find Laura and I on Instagram at goodnessgraciousthepod. Send us a message. Maybe you want to make a comment or let us know if there's something you want us to talk about or elaborate on from a previous episode. We post every other Tuesday. So Lord willing, you'll hear from us again in a couple weeks. And if you have our number, you can send us a text message, you know. We hope you've enjoyed listening, and we hope you will listen to the next episode every other Tuesday. Okay, thanks.